even as kids, we have expectations. When we're kids, when we grow up, we want to be, I want to be a fireman. I want to be a ballerina. Not me, but the girls. I want to be a circus clown. And at one point when I was a little kid, I did want to be a circus clown. And some people say I'm sort of like a circus clown today. I don't know. I want to be an actor. I want to be an actress. I want to be famous. I want to be a prince or a princess. And little girls will sometimes, you know, they'll dress like that little, you know, princess, and they never want to take that dress off, and mommy has to sneak it out of their room at night when they go to sleep and wash it so it'll be ready the next day because they want to wear it every day. So even as kids, we have these expectations. Even as adults, we find it difficult to know what we want to be when we grow up sometimes. Okay, so here are a few things. I once met a man whose first job was working in an orange juice factory, but he got canned because he couldn't concentrate. But I'm bummed to be able to have the drummer up here. After that, he tried to be a tailor, but he just wasn't suited for it. It was a so-so job. And then he wanted to be a barber, but he just couldn't cut it. And he managed to get a job as a pool man, and he decided to work, but it became too draining to him. This is a Florida joke, right? And then he got a job at a gym, and it just turned out he wasn't fit for it. Okay, enough of that. But we have daily expectations as adults. So it's not just some things that we have as kids and we look far into the future when we grow up, we want to be, or it's not as young adults, when we get older, we want to be so-and-so. But we have these daily expectations. Kids, the night before your birthday, you're all excited, you go to sleep, you can't get to wake up the next morning, because the next morning you're going to be a year older, and you know that mom or dad are going to give you a birthday party, and your friends are going to come, and you're going to get presents, and you really look forward to it. And it's exciting, and you have all this anticipation. Then the day goes by, and it's over with. There goes that expectation. You fulfilled it, and that's it. So as we begin our high holiday services this evening, this is, and I mentioned it on Shabbat, and I mention it every year, because Rosh Hashanah is called Mashiach's anniversary. We had our first Shabbat service. I don't even know who took this. Someone sent it to us, or we found it. This was our family room in our home. We started Kol Mashiach, and in our family room, we had our first service on the evening of Rosh Hashanah. So it was 29 years ago. So every Erev Rosh Hashanah is our anniversary, and I guess it's good that we do it that way. This way I can remember every year when it is. And so this was in our family room. We had sort of everybody packed in, and we emptied all the furniture out, and we rented chairs, and we had it there. And so and again, like I said, I don't know who took it, but I'm glad whoever took it, because we wouldn't have had any real official record of it. But this is our 29th anniversary. I said yesterday that we were going to announce something special, because we had a special anniversary gift for the congregation, and we've been waiting for it. And so this evening we have, and I'll open the gates and open the ark one more time, because we actually purchased a new Torah. This is a new Torah. But what's special about it is it's only about half the weight and half the size of the old Torah. So, you know, it was hard for the, when kids would have their bar mitzvah or bat mitzvahs, it was hard, it's hard for them to be able to process it around on that special day. So now they can process it, and also some of the guys are getting older, and so it's harder. Every time it's their turn to process it, it gets heavier and bigger and bigger. And so we purchased the new Torah, and we decided on our anniversary, what a special time, and we will. So tomorrow morning, it is a Rosh Hashanah service, but it is a Torah service within the service, and so we will take it out and we will process our new Torah. And so this is a great, as we begin the High Holidays, it's great to talk about expectations. This should be a great month for all of us as we look forward to special things. This should be a great time that we look forward in our coming year. And I keep saying traditional New Year, because the biblical New Year is at Passover, where God said this will be the first day of the first year of your life, he said to Israel. And so that's the biblical New Year, but our traditional New Year in Judaism is Rosh Hashanah, the blowing of the shofar. And so this should be a time for everyone, a time for great expectation. So for us, expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. All right, let me repeat that. The expectation for each of us should be the breeding ground for miracles in our lives. Okay? We shouldn't continue coming to synagogue each and every week with no sense of expectation that God is going to manifest himself. And so when we come to services every week, I want people to have that expectation even before they come through the doors, maybe when they're getting ready at home, to expect it's going to be a good Shabbat. It's going to be a great service today. We're going to meet God at a special place. And so we should have that sense of expectation. It's not just a matter of coming to services every week because it's tradition. We should be coming and expecting something to happen. And if you expect something to happen, and you're open for something to happen, and you're open for the move of God and the move of God's Spirit, something is going to happen in your life. It may be little and tiny, it may be a huge change in your life, but something will happen, and it will happen each and every week. So each week, we should expect something to happen. So now we've got a new year. We have 52 Shabbats going on this year, 51. We won't have a Shabbat here. What we do, we'll have a Shabbat at our regional conference. We have 52 Shabbats for this year. We've got a couple of special Shabbats because of the holidays and the feasts and everything. And so each time, we have a wonderful opportunity to expect something special to happen. And I'm not saying don't expect things to happen on a daily basis. God can meet you each and every day of your life, but this is a great time when we congregate together as believers. There's something dynamic of us coming together as the body of Messiah with one thing in goal, and that is to come and worship the Lord and to meet the Lord in this place. So we should expect something to happen, something to catch you, something to catch your attention, something to impact you each week, something to challenge you. It might be a change in the way of being challenged. And sometimes you may leave not quite in the way you expected to leave. That's okay. Because if God is challenging you, sometimes you feel a little uncomfortable. But he's challenging you for a reason, because he wants you to change and he wants you to grow. So we look for that. We look forward to that. Believing that there is a God is not enough. Believing that there is a God is not enough. Let's look at a couple of scriptures here. From James, Yaakov, this is Yeshua's brother, Jacob, his name is Jacob, Yaakov. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. 2 Timothy, Shaul's message to Timothy, his second letter to Timothy. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, having a form of godlessness, but denying its power. See, so believing in God and saying, oh, I know there is a God, it's not enough. God's word says it. It's not enough. Even the demons believe in God. The demons know that God is real. And we read in 2 Timothy that there will be in the last days, and I like to believe that we are in the last days here, that we're waiting very soon for Messiah Yeshua returns. I don't know, maybe next week, maybe next year, I don't know. But we are in that time that we call the last days. And so there will be a form of godlessness, a godliness, makes a big difference, doesn't it? A form of godliness, but denying God's power. Those are the people that say, I believe in God. Oh, I believe there's a God. But it's not enough. Especially today, it's not enough. We need to have faith, and we need to believe in his power. All of us, whoever we are, whatever our background is. You can have faith without expectation, but you cannot have expectation without faith. All right, I'm going to repeat it. Just think about that. You can have faith without expectation, but you cannot have expectation without faith. Because if you want to expect that something is going to happen in your life and you're truly expecting it, that's faith. Now, is it godly faith? Is it godless faith? Is it your faith? Is it coming from the Lord? Is it just coming from your own desires and your own wants? Well, that's a different thing. But the thing is, you cannot have expectation without some form of faith in your life. We would like to see all people to have faith in the living God and to put their faith in God and in their Messiah. Some people have faith that the Bible is true, but they just can't seem to apply it in their personal lives. They look at it, they read it, sometimes they even get strengthened by it a little bit here and there, but they look at it like it's stories. These are wonderful things that happened to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These are great things to happen to the patriarchs. Isn't it great that God worked on our people? Isn't it terrific? But they can't seem to apply it in their own personal lives. And so the word is for each and every one of us. God did these things with the hope that one day all people would read these words, see these things that happen, look at the scenarios, look at the characters, look at what happened in their lives, and say, now I understand the character of God. I understand how God wants to relate to us. I understand how powerful God is. I understand the things that he can do. See, it's not just a book for us to read about history and the wonderful things that the patriarchs did. This is a book so we, it's our manual for us to know how to have a relationship with God and what the true nature of God really is. And so that's one of the reasons we need to be reading it. We can't seem to apply it in our personal lives because we're looking at it through the wrong eyes. Let's go to Isaiah 53, our hallmark chapter in the entire Bible. Isaiah 53, that tells us so much about the Messiah to come from this wonderful Jewish prophet, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Written 700 years before Yeshua was born. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. That's for us, not just Joe Schmo out there that doesn't apply. It's for each and every one of us. Isaiah is speaking to us 2,700 years in the past, and he's speaking to even this generation today. So when you read the Word, when you're exposed to the Word, when you hear about God, you first have to decide to believe that it is God's truth, that this is a book of truth. Then you have to look at your expectation after looking and reading about God in the book. So do you expect that what you read or hear applies to you in your life? You know, these are the things today. Let's begin to begin, as I said before. Do we expect these things? Do we expect that our sins, according to even what the prophet Isaiah said, do we expect that our sins can be forgiven? Do we expect that because our sins are forgiven and atoned for, that we can have everlasting life? Do we expect that? Do we have the faith to expect it and really believe it? These are the things. It's a wonderful time to start thinking about these at the new year. So let's kick off the high holidays with the expectation that God will do great and mighty things in our lives, in all of our lives, in our congregation. And yes, he's going to start doing great and marvelous things even in the world today, even maybe in a world that do not believe in him, that he's going to show them who he really is. And we will see people, and we will see friends and family and loved ones and people that we work with. We're going to see people turning to God. Maybe it'll be this year. And it won't be because what we say. It won't be a magical formula. It won't be some magical scripture and formula or cookbook thing that we read to them. But it's going to be because they see with their own eyes and hear with their own ears about the wonderful and marvelous things that God does do, and he can do, and he will do in our lives. And so I leave you with these words this evening. Let's start a wonderful year of expectation. Can we do that? Let's do it. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.